I'd like to speak to you this afternoon on the topic of going back to school. I don't know why you're laughing. Is that funny? I don't understand. The school of faith I'm talking about this afternoon, amen? I don't know, something happened to me this summer. Interestingly, every time I would pass by an elementary school in the city, I would look at it and it wasn't a flashback of memories, but it was a flashback of a sensation that I had as a kid having to go back to school. Every year after summer break, having to go back to school. And it was a dread. It wasn't a good feeling. I don't know about you, but it was a dread. And in fact, it was such a sensation that I felt. I couldn't pinpoint why. I couldn't remember exactly why. But I felt a determination this year when I start school as a teacher in the Bronx that I want to reach out to kids who feel that same way, that same dread of coming back to school and the uncertainty of what to expect. I want to be there to comfort. I want to be there to guide. But this afternoon, I just want to encourage those who feel a dread of going further on with God and where He's calling you to in a walk of faith, a walk of growth in Him. Now, I don't know what caused that dread when I was a kid. It could be the bullies in school, because I faced many of them. I don't know if you've been bullied in the house of God. I hope not. I hope not here in this congregation. I don't know if it was the awareness of my own frailties, my own failures, because I wasn't doing good. The grades, they weren't that great. And I don't know if there's someone here in the house that feels somehow like a second class citizen in the kingdom of God, and you feel like you can't enter into the fullness of what God has for you. I want to encourage you today that His arms are open wide. He's welcoming you back to the school of faith. I don't know if it was the peer pressures that were there, even in elementary school, peer pressures, amazing. I was playing hooky in Manhattan. I was cutting school. I would go to the Central Park. We were allowed to go eat lunch at noontime. We were allowed to go outside the school, and we were able to buy candy or pizza across the street. And we would take off to the park with our Chinese food, and we wouldn't come back. I remember one particular day, the fear of God gripped me out there because I saw a cop car around, and I said, oh, no, they've discovered it. And I ran back to school, and I didn't get reported, amazingly. And I think back to this day, the lady who worked at the security table in the front was a member of my church. So I'm sure she had grace upon me, and she didn't report me for coming in so tardy. I don't know if it was the peer pressures. I don't know what it was that was keeping me fearful in that place of dread. But my heart goes out to any Christian in the family of God who feels like if they're outside looking in, and they feel like they can't enter into all that God has for them. And I just want to encourage you today with this message, going back to school, to the school of faith. God has called us to grow, and we've been singing it. We want more and more. We want to grow in grace. We don't want to be the same we were yesterday. And we know He's changed us, but we want to grow from image to image, from grace to grace, in the power of His name. Amen? 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. So let me share with you in these next few moments just the essentials you need for coming back to school, all right? Consider it just like an orientation day, a mini orientation as to entering back into the campus of Christ and coming back to school. Number one, you can trust the teacher. Say it to the person next to you. You can trust the teacher. He knows what he's doing. Sometimes our teachers, earthly teachers, don't know what they're doing, but God knows what He's doing. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Turn to someone next to you and say, He knows the plans. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. He's not winging it, folks. He's not just improvising. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got His objective. He's got His goals. He's got His lesson plan set for the day. Every day you and I can wake up and say, I wonder what you have in store for me today. Because you're a God who's always prepared. And God, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. But you have a way of bringing your thoughts down to me. Because you're gentle. I can trust your plan, but I can also trust your person. You're gentle. You're humble. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Take of my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We can trust in the person of this teacher of ours. He's merciful. He's kind. He's approachable. He receives the little children unto himself. He receives the leper and touches the leper, the untouchable. He touches them. He stoops down to write on the ground for that person that feels under condemnation and feels the stones of the accuser just breathing down their back. The psalmist says, it is good for me to draw near unto God. He's an approachable God. You may have had some teachers you can't approach. You didn't even dare raise your hand in class because you felt like you were going to be ridiculed. You don't have to fear that in the kingdom of God. You don't have to fear him ever rejecting you. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. You don't ever have to fear your teacher neglecting you. There may have been earthly teachers who just pushed you to the side and gave the attention to other kids in the class, but he will never neglect you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. You don't have to fear him ever embarrassing you in front of your peers. No one who puts their hope in him will ever be put to shame. Psalm 25, verse 3. You can trust in his plan. It's a good plan. You can trust in his person. He's a good God. You can trust in his passion towards you. He loves you with an everlasting love. You are the apple of his eye. When you come into the classroom, he delights, he rejoices. A song rises up within his heart. When he sees you wake up in the morning, he's been watching you all night, waiting for you to wake up and say, praise God, another day to serve him, another day to walk with him, another day to learn of him. Basically, in all the good sense of the word, you and I are the teacher's pet. We are his sons and daughters. He delights in having us in his classroom. We can trust in his passion towards us. We can raise both hands boldly before the throne room of God and confess that we're weak. We can tell him how we are. We can come with truth in our hearts and sincerity. God, I need you. God, I don't feel your presence today. God, I need your strength today. God, I can't do this without you. I raise my hands in the classroom of faith and I say, God, you've got to take this because I can't do it on my own. He's approachable. His person is kind. His passion is towards us. You can trust in his power. There's nothing that your teacher can't do. Your past failures, he can turn them around into testimonies of victory. There's every enemy that assails you, he can put them to flight. There's nothing too difficult for your God, nothing too difficult for the one who calls you back into the school of faith. Nothing that he cannot do. Many things that we cannot do, but there's nothing that our God cannot do. Even in afflictions, he has a purpose and a plan. Even when we go through hardships, he's able to bring it out for the glory of his name. He works it all together for good, for the glory of God, and for our good. There's nothing that can separate us from his love. Everything that comes from the teacher's heart, even if it's correction, my friends, listen to me. Even if it's correction from his hand, it comes from his heart of love towards you and I. So we can trust him. You can trust the teacher. Amen? And that leads us to our next point. Speaking of afflictions, not only can you trust the teacher, you could expect the exams. No one said amen. We will be tested, but we will pass the test. 1 Peter 4:12 says, dear friends, do not be surprised by the fiery trial that has come upon you to test you. Don't be surprised. What? I'm going through more afflictions now than when I was not in Christ. What's going on here? It was easier to live in the world than now when I'm trying to give my life to Christ and trying to do the work of the kingdom. Now I'm facing all opposition. Don't be surprised. This was not a foreign concept for the early church. They knew, the disciples knew. Jesus spoke clearly to them, said, if they've come against me, they're going to come against you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you, right? It's just the modern mentality of religion now that everything's got to go smooth. Everything is prosperity. Everything is just give me, give me, give me, Lord, bless me, bless me, bless me. That all of a sudden trials come, opposition comes, and we're like, whoa, I wonder if I've missed the mark. And many are standing on the outside. They fear getting in closer to God because they fear the exam. They fear the test. They fear the trials. But let me encourage you, this afternoon, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. The afflictions, the trials, the battles that you're going through, the accusations, the turmoil that comes towards your way. Listen, it's all part of the process of growth. It's all part of the school of faith. 1 Peter 1:7 says, these have come, these, the afflictions, the trials have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Your faith is being refined. My faith is being refined through the trial that you're going through. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Amen? We could expect the exam. The glorious thing about it is that we haven't missed it. When we're going through problems, the enemy would want to try to tell you that you've missed it. You've missed it along the way. You've missed the will of God. That's why you're suffering. He's punishing you for something you did in the past. Somehow you've been expelled. You've been sent to detention. You've been thrown out of the school. My friends, you're in the very center of the school of faith when you're being tested. You can rejoice when you're tested. The Word of God says we can rejoice that we're partakers of His suffering. When God gives us a test, it's because we're ready for it. What teacher just wants to give tests when the kids are not ready? That's not even conceivable. It's unfair. God, when He gives you a test, is because He has already invested something in you to pass the test. When He allows us to go through trials, it's because He's given us the grace that we need. He's given us a measure of faith. The Bible says to each man, He's given a measure of faith. So He's given you and I what we need to pass the test. We may not feel it. You may not feel equipped. You're saying right now, oh no, David, you've missed it there because I'm going through something too difficult for me. Exactly. That's what we heard this morning about weakness and His strength being glorified in the midst of our weakness. He's bringing us to that place where we can surrender and say, God, I can't do this without You. And He says, you've passed the test. God is faithful. He gives us the grace to surrender to Him. Every Goliath that we have to face, he provides the smooth stones. He provides the promises that we need to bring that giant down. He gives us the tools to face the fears and the fierce enemy and the foe. He gives us what we need to get victory in every trial. He's working something out in us through every test. You may feel like you're in a Gethsemane moment, but you are brought to this place. You're being brought to that place where you could say, nevertheless, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. You may be struggling in the faith because your will wants to implant itself over and override God's will for your life. And God's got to bring a little affliction in our lives sometimes so that we could raise both hands and say, God, you know what? Your ways are better than my ways. Not my will. This is what I want, Lord. This is what I wish. This is what I desire. This is what I feel like would give me the victory in this. But God, You know all things. And nevertheless, Your will be done, not mine. I remember coming to an interview in Puerto Rico to have a chance to come here. This was over 30 years ago to teach in New York City. They were interviewing teachers or students of education in Puerto Rico to recruit them to come to the city and work here. And I wasn't excited about coming to New York City. But the money they were offering was better than what they were paying in Puerto Rico. And I wanted to get married. And I knew I wasn't going to have enough to get married in a long time if I was working as a teacher in Puerto Rico. I don't know where this message is going, but... Oh, the interview. Okay. I went to the interview. And they gave us the questions that we were going to be asked before we go in to face the interviewer. And I saw the question, my mind went blank. I had nothing. It was like asking me about teaching music, and I never taught music. That was not my background. I was just blank. And I felt like walking out. But I just bent my head, and I said, God, nevertheless, Your will be done. If You want me to go to New York, You've got to make this happen. And all of a sudden, just a rush of ideas just began to flood my heart of lessons and how to incorporate music with math and with English and all that stuff. And things just started coming together. And I went in and I answered the questions in English and in Spanish because they were looking for bilingual teachers. I left the place laughing. There was a laughter, a giggle in my soul because I knew it had been God, all of God. I knew it wasn't me trying to force any door open. My friends, God is leading us to that place. Sometimes we try to force doors open. Listen to me. If you're trying to force a door open into ministry, into marriage, into anything that you desire for your life, God sometimes allows a little bit of closed doors slamming in your face and some affliction in your life so that you can let go and say, God, you've got to do this. Amen? You've got to do this. He's keeping you. The psalmist says, if I hadn't been afflicted, I would have gone astray. So even the afflictions can keep us dependent upon God, humbly relying upon his strength and not our own. Apostle Paul says, the thorn in my flesh kept me from pride. We heard it this morning. He's leading us. Even when we make mistakes, our shortcomings, our frailties, when we fall, the enemy wants to think you're a failure. You've blown it now. And he shows you the test score. He shows you the exam with a big red X on it. And you feel like a failure. You feel like you've messed up now. With all that God had invested in you, now you came and you fell again and you blew it. And you see that red X just popping out of the page. But my friends, that's a crooked way of seeing Christ. You just turn the paper around. You get a clear view of that red X and it's a bloodstained cross. God is leading us to his cross. The cross that paid the price for every victory that you and I need. He paid the price for it on Calvary. So every failure is just an opportunity for him to be glorified. Hallelujah. For our lives to be crucified with Christ and for us to live again in his resurrection power. So every test, my friend, is just the beginning of a testimony. You've heard it before. The tests, every trial that you go through is an open book test. You don't have to fear opening up the book. You can open up. You can cheat. All right? They've gone through your trials before. They've gone through it before. There's everything in here that applies to our need. Amen? It's an open book test. We don't have to fear anybody copying off of our paper. We're all in the same boat, my friends. Doesn't matter. Hey, you want to see? You want to see my notes? Doesn't matter. I'm going through a trial. You don't have to hide. Some of us try to hide. You know, I'm not going through a test, no. Everything's good, glorious, en victoria, como decimos. Everything's in victory. I'm on the glory side, the hallelujah side, and we're not open to say, listen, I'm going through a test, man. I'm going through a test. Look at my test. Share it with a brother in confidence. I'm not saying just spill your guts out to everybody, but the body of Christ is here. We're all in this together, amen? You're not alone. We don't have to cover our papers. And you know what? God gets the glory. When we pass the test, when we come to that place where we receive a good grade, God gets all the glory because we know it's in his power and it's his strength that we've been able to accomplish what we've accomplished. It's all him. It's all about him. Every star that he's placed upon our chart, every golden star, every sticker he's put on our forehead, we bring it back to him. That's what we do here in Times Square Church. We worship him. We take our stickers, we take our diplomas, we take our golden stars and we place it on him. We say, God, not to us, but to you be the glory. Hallelujah forever. Amen. That's our worship here. We're giving him our diplomas. We're giving him our accomplishments. We're giving him our victories. We're giving him the fact that we woke up this morning. He started us on our way. It's all due to his glory and his grace. He deserves all the praise. It's all about him. I will bless the Lord at all times, the psalmist says in Psalm 34. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That means through darkness, through trials, through storms, through the testings, through every exam, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise, we sing in this church. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Before the test, during the test, and even after the test, he deserves the glory and the honor and the praise. Amen? Don't be surprised by the tests, the exams. Expect the exams. Trust the teacher. And that leads us to the next topic or point. Study the subject. Christ is the object and the source of faith and spiritual growth. He is our all in all. It's all about him. It's all about Christ. Philippians 3:10, Paul says, that I may know Christ. That's all he wanted to do. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's the curriculum. He's the standard. He's the aim. He's the objective. He's the goal. He's the lesson plan. He's the textbook. He's the living word. He's the alpha, the omega, everything in between. He's the whole alphabet. He's the main character. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the study guide. He provides those things that we need to remember what he has spoken. He says, I'll give you the Holy Spirit so that all the things that I've spoken to you will come back to remembrance. We don't even have to rely on ourselves to remember the things that he has spoken. We rely on him to remember what he has spoken. He's everything, my friends. He's the subject. He's what we're here. He's what 3 o'clock is about. 6 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You go to the annex 3.0. That's what is Christ. You're going to get Christ. Christ alone for everything. If you study any character in this book from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to be studying Christ in that person. Amen. It's all about Christ. You need school supplies. He is your supplier. He supplies all that we need according to his riches in glory. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not also with him freely give us all things? You need school supplies, you know where to run. It's all about Christ. You need the guarantee that you're going to grow. You need the guarantee that you're going to prosper in Christ and grow spiritually. He gives you the promises that you need. He says, Jeremiah 12:24-7, I will give them a heart to know me. Even the heart to know him comes from him. He is your provision. He pays your tuition. He paid it on the cross. You don't have to earn points enough to gain access back to the school of faith. He invites you in freely. You come. The price has been paid. You don't have to worry. How are you going to get enough holiness, enough righteousness to come back to the school of faith? It's been paid for on Calvary. You've got a scholarship. Full ride. Hallelujah. A full ride. You need transportation. You're worried about how to get there. He gets in the boat. He says, we're going to the other side. No matter what you face, he's going to bring you to the other side. The ride may get bumpy at times, but my friends, you and I are getting to the other side. Amen? Because he said we will. He said we will, and he is everything. You need clothes to go to school. My friends, my parents would, I love my parents dearly, but we didn't have much money. When I was in elementary school, and this is probably what brought the dread also, I was remembering that I wouldn't get new sneakers until my little pinky toe would be coming out of the side. That's when my parents knew it was time to get me sneakers. And we would go to La Marqueta in on Park Avenue, I think it is, where they would just sell fish in one place and then sneakers in another place. And your sneakers smelled like fish. But I remember bullies stepping on my little toe when it would come out, you know, and feeling the embarrassment, the sting of that, you know? Maybe that caused the dread. My friends, you and I don't have to worry about clothes to enter into this school of faith. He has provided robes of righteousness for you and I, garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wraps us up in his presence, in his grace, and in his mercy, and we're accepted in the beloved. You need glue. He's the glue that binds us together. He's the glue that mends the broken heart. You need a pen. He's the pen that writes his law upon your heart and my heart. You need paintbrushes. He's the paintbrush that makes a masterpiece of your life. He's the eraser. He's the whiteout. He blots out every transgression, remembers them no more. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He's the whiteout, my friends. Those memories that come back to haunt you. Those accusations of the enemy that come back to deter you, to keep you back from all that God has for you. God wipes it out in his blood. Hallelujah. You need a ruler. He's the ruler. He makes every crooked way straight. Hallelujah. He's the ruler that measures it out and says to the waves and to the wind and to the trials, this far and no further. This is my child, and I have control and dominion over his life and her life. No matter what period of the day you're in this school, he's the subject. Amen? First period, you're in history. It's his story. You're in math. You start at addition. Which of you, by taking thought, can add 1 cubit to your stature? He brings you to the end of your own efforts, to my own strength. I can't add a day to my life. I can't add an inch to my stature. I can't add another hair to my head. I just threw that in there because some people were falling asleep. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. unto you. So we start with addition, we go on to subtraction. He begins to take things away that shouldn't be there, amen? He goes into multiplication and the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. He multiplies our life and makes us more than we could have ever been in our own strength. He divides and he scatters our enemy. When they come in like a flood, he raises up a standard and he divides them. He takes care of our enemies, amen? I'm not talking about that person in the choir that offended you. I'm not talking about that usher who didn't give you the seat. I'm talking about the enemies of your soul, the pride, the haughtiness, the unforgiveness, the anger, the resentment, the sin that besets us. Those enemies are the ones he divides and conquers. Amen? Yeah, I can see some of you saying, amen. He's going to take care of that sister or that brother. No, we'll get to that. We'll get to that. Every period, he's the subject. Moses said he needed speech therapy. And God told him, who made man's mouth? It's all about me. I made you. I formed you. I will give you. I will equip you. I will make you more than you could ever imagine to be. There are classes now teaching young people how to use social media because a lot of kids don't know. They do things out of, I guess, being naive or just ignorance that get them into a lot of trouble in the future. Things they put online. So now there are classes teaching kids how to deal with these issues of social media. And there are classes of technology. My daughters would recommend that to me because when they see me texting, they say, Dad, just give me the phone. I'll text it for you. Tell me what you want me to text, you know? Because I'm like, and they're like, and it's gone. The word of God, Psalm 144 says, he teaches our hands to war and our fingers to fight. Amen? He will teach you how to put that thing down, how to rip up things that need to be ripped up. He will teach you how to click off of things that you shouldn't be clicked on to. God gives you power and strength, and he trains you for war against the enemy of your soul. Amen? Even when you go to the cafeteria, the subject is Christ. He's the bread, he's the wine, he's the living water. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Amen? He's your homework assignment. He's your project. You go home and it's Christ. This is not just worshiping Christ here and then go home and do our thing. No, we're called to live Christ amongst our family members, amongst our neighbors, in our job. He's our homework. He's our assignment. He's the power to do the homework. How many of you had problems doing homework when you were in school? And you always feel that sense of, oh my God, I hope the teacher doesn't call on me. I hope they don't collect it today. You're praying. Your faith gets strengthened. You start praying, God. Young people, you've prayed that prayer before. God. And then the teacher forgets to collect it, and you're saying, praise God. God is my provider. Hallelujah. He's my protector. He wants you to do your homework. And he gives power to do it. Amen. To live the life that we declare here in the body as well at home. Amen. The field trips. He's the subject of the field trips. It's learn as you go. It's on-the-job training. You've been feeling a call to missions, and you feel, no, I'm not ready for this. You're going to learn Christ as you step out in obedience. Just go. God will give you the grace. God will teach you of himself. Don't wait to have it all together to feel that you're ready now for the mission trip. Because when you feel that you got it ready, then you're not ready. You're stepping out in pride, and you're relying on your own ability. You go in weakness, God will glorify his name and his strength in your life. Amen? The beautiful thing about this, lastly, phys ed. I almost left it out. And I know you were waiting for this because I'm a phys ed teacher. When you go to phys ed, by him, you will run through a troop. And by your God, you will leap over walls. You will run and you will not grow weary. You will walk and you will not faint. God will give you power to do things that you would never be able to do in your own strength. Even in phys ed that you dread because you feel like an awkward, you feel like you can't play like everyone else plays. You can't shoot like everyone else shoots. You can't run like everyone else shoots. He is the subject of your entire life. He is the object of our study. He is the desire of our heart. We run after him and we faint not. We grow in grace because he is our all in all. And in order for us to learn Christ, what better way? In his divine wisdom, he fully immerses us in Christ. You know, like when you're going to learn a language, they talk about total immersion, where you're practically in the country and you're speaking the language, you're hearing the language, you go out to eat and you're hearing the language. The wisdom of God, he wants us to learn Christ, to learn of him. He places us in Christ, in the body of Christ, in the community of faith. Turn to someone next to you and says, "You're teaching me." We need each other. Oh, you don't have to repeat everything I said. We need each other. He's placed us in the body for a purpose. This is my next point. It's not an accident that we're here. We're not just here to learn a little bit more of Christ. We're here to grow in grace. And God, in his divine wisdom, he places us in a community because that's where we grow. We grow in the body of Christ. So my fourth point is care for your classmates. God has called us to care for our classmates. We need to care for one another, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. We need each other, and we're called to edify one another in love, in mercy, in tenderness, in grace. Oh, it would be so easy just to learn of Christ somewhere isolated from the body. No one ever steps on my toes. It's just me and God, just me in communion with him. I learn and I grow. But that's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. In fact, those who are streaming online, you may not have found a body of believers to congregate with. And you've made Times Square Church home, and our arms are open wide to you. And we're praying that God would give us grace in how to reach out to you and how to bless you. But God has put something in you as a believer in Christ that you will feel the desire to bless others of the faith. It's part of our new nature in Christ. We can't contain it. There's something in us that wants to bless the body of Christ. There's something in us that says, God, what would you have me to do? God, how would you lead me? How can I be a blessing to my brothers and sisters? How can I encourage someone? He may lead you to a faithful body of believers. He may lead you to another congregation. I don't know how he's going to do it, but he's going to put it in your heart, and he will lead you to care for your classmates, because it's his character and his name that's at stake here. It's his body. He calls us his body. He's not ashamed to call us the body of Christ. Amen? Paul thanks the Lord for the Thessalonian church, and he says, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. So these two things go hand in hand. As we grow in faith, our love for one another has to grow. We're called to care for one another, my friends, and that's probably why some people are outside looking in. They've been offended, they've been hurt, they've been on break, or their heart has been broken. Or they feel broken from this relationship with the body somehow distanced. They felt rejected. They felt that they weren't accepted in a ministry, and they've taken offense at that. And instead of trusting the teacher that God knows what he's doing, they've taken offense in the body of Christ, and they've said, not me. I'm not entering in to that congregation. I'm not entering anymore into that life of fellowship with my brothers and sisters. My friend, God has so much in store for you. My friends, it's not about you staying home and just watching the service online. It's coming and saying, God, how can I bless my brothers and sisters today? Is there someone that needs a word of encouragement? It could be the person next door, next to me, next in the seat next to me. It could be someone I run into in the rotunda. It could be someone I meet in the restroom that needs an encouraging word. God, you lead me. God, guide me that I may be a blessing to the body of Christ. Amen? And lastly, get ready to represent. You and I are called. We are commissioned to make him known, no matter what grade we're in. You may feel like you're in pre-K. You may feel like you're in Head Start. My friends, it doesn't matter where we are. We may be masters in divinity, and we may have so many degrees under our belt. My friends, all the glory goes to God anyway. And he's called us, and he's commissioned us. He's converted us. He's consecrated us. He's prepared us, and he's putting himself, he's invested in us so that we can represent him no matter where we go. He's not ashamed to call us sons and daughters of the Most High God. So we should not be ashamed to call him our Father. No matter where you are, my friends, in school, no matter how much of a failure you feel, no matter how weak you feel, God has called you and I to represent him in this generation. It may be through the words we speak. It may be through the choices we make. It may be just the smile that we give on the job, but God is going to use your life to stir someone to say, I want what you have. Hallelujah. It's not when we finally get it together and we got a diploma and a degree. It's while we're still in this school of faith that God has chosen the foolish things, the weak things, the things that are ignorant in this world's eye to confound the wise and to confound the things that think they're strong. Amen? God has chosen you and I to represent him well. I don't know how it's going to be. It may be in the least expected moment when you don't feel so sanctified, when you don't feel so powerful, where you haven't been fasting and praying. And all of a sudden, remembering Jerry's testimony when he was on the plane and he felt he wasn't one of these. He was just on a business trip or something like that, and he wasn't really in his church mode, he said. And yet there was a demoniac lady manifesting in front of him, and he had to rebuke that demon, and God gave him the victory over the powers of darkness. My friends, it may be in the least expected moment. I remember walking up the stairs in my school, and the assistant principal was coming down, and we were almost meeting, and he looks at me, he says, oh, you know what? I'm not going to do that. And he turns around, he goes the other way. And I asked him, what was that all about? He says, I was going to do something that was not right. But when I saw you, I changed my mind. God will use you and I. We don't know how, but get ready to represent the Master. Hallelujah. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then I will teach, the psalmist says, then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. For ye see your calling, brethren, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen you and I to confound this world. When they saw the courage of John and Peter, they realized that they were unschooled. They were ordinary men, but they marveled. They were greatly astounded, and they took note that they had been with Jesus. Please stand with me this afternoon while we make the call. Now, this is the call for this afternoon. Two words. Welcome back. Welcome back to school. For those who feel like they're on the outside, you feel like a second-class student, second-class disciple, you're the apple of his eye. He wants to do great things in you and through you. Will you surrender that to him? Will you surrender that reluctance, that fear, that dread that keeps you away from everything God has planned for your life? That hesitancy of surrendering it all and say, God, whatever you want my life, wherever you want to take me, whatever you want me to do, I want to trust you. I want to trust you more. If that's you, come, and we're going to pray for you, and we're going to worship. Praise God. I have this picture in my mind of a little kid who's so excited to go back to school. His notebook is new. New crayons that haven't been used. Sharpened pencils. Everything just placed, even the lunch in his little bag is so perfect. And he's got this expectation in his heart. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Yeah. And God calls us to come as little children. He says the kingdom of God is made of little children. So we come in that childlike faith. And God makes our crayons new. He makes our pencils sharpened. He sharpens that which needs to be sharpened. He makes the word of God come alive and be new to us. Some of us have gone through hardships, and you've lost that desire to walk with him. You've grown cold in your walk with him. And today is like a fresh start. God's going to give you a fresh start. The joy of just finger painting and for the Lord, just getting your hands mixed into whatever God has for you. That joy of just being in school because it's part of growth is going to come back to you. God's going to give you that joy of serving him once again in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the exams, in the midst of the testing. Amen? I believe it with all my heart. The word of God in 1 Corinthians 13 says that his love is patient, is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it's not proud. And later on it says love never fails. He is love. So he never fails. And it's love that invites you back to school. So if his love never fails, you and I won't fail. Don't let the enemy trick you into thinking you're coming into faith, but you're going to fall. You're not going to make it. That's a lie. His love is what's inviting you and I. And his love is unfailing. So you and I cannot fail. Amen? We'll fall and we'll falter and we'll learn from our mistakes and God will lead us to the cross. But you will not fail. You and I are getting to the other side. And God's going to be glorified through it all. Amen? Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters. God, in the school of faith, you know the hardships, you know the trials, you know the temptations, you know the voice of darkness telling us that we can't make it, but God, we stand upon your word today and we just come as little children. We come, dear God, wanting that sense of excitement once again. We want that bounce in our step. We want that joy of knowing that everything in our book bag is new, fresh. Father, we want, dear God, that desire to walk with you, to grow in you, and to be everything that you've called us to be. So God, make it a reality. Make us such soldiers of the cross, that we would encourage those next to us that feel weary, that feel that they're on the outside. We will be able to talk to them, speak to them, encourage them, pray with them, and bring them into the fellowship of the body of Jesus Christ. We thank you for this. We give you the praise. Do something marvelous. Do something miraculous, oh God. Put a joy in our hearts. Once again, put an excitement to share the goodness of our teacher, the goodness of our master, to be able to say to others, oh, come and taste and see that the Lord is good. We thank you for it. And in Jesus' name, we give you the glory. Amen.